Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to the December 21st edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. This is your host, Spartanzilla, coming at you solo on this podcast, trying to break down the Friday night action in the National Basketball Association. We've got 10 games on tap. Should be an interesting slate, a lot better than the slate that's currently going on now, the two-gamer that some people are playing. So we are going to break down the slate in the traditional way that we have come to do on this iteration of the podcast from the Lineup Logic community. We'll go game by game. We will then give you the Vegas totals, give you the line, and give you a few plays from each game. And then at the end of the podcast, which is customary for us to do, we will break down a lineup. We'll kind of build a lineup on the fly and see how that looks after all said and done. So as I start every podcast, want to have you folks take a look at the Patreon community and patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you access to Slack, gets you access to all of the tips and tools and tricks that a variety of contributors have in the Lineup Logic community. That's a great network. It's a great way to get involved if you're going to play DFS. And we've talked about it on a variety of podcasts and whatnot. So I won't labor that, but just to let you know, patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month gets you all the access you could ever want to have fun playing DFS. So with that, we're going to go ahead and go game by game and start off the Friday night activities with my Detroit Pistons going to Charlotte to take on those pesky Hornets. The over-under is 217. The Hornets coming in at 3.5-point favorites. This matchup was just held a few weeks ago, and Charlotte won the matchup in kind of a last-second fashion. It was, I think, down in Charlotte as well. So it's interesting that they're favorites going up against the Pistons, who are coming off a overtime win last night up in Minneapolis and taking on the Wolves. So if I'm looking at the Detroit side of the ball here, their usage and their production has really rested with a few players, and most of you that play DFS by the now know. You've got Blake Griffin, who's really having definitely an all-star season and is playing at an all NBA level in terms of what he's doing from the outside, what he's doing on the inside. He's doing it all for the Pistons, who are a little bit above 500. Dre Drummond is a walking 2020 type player when he is motivated and engaged. And so you could look to him in this matchup against Charlotte's front line, which is not really that formidable when you look at defensively for Charlotte. Reggie Bullock, who came back off an injury and had, I think, a career high in points last night against Minneapolis or against Minnesota. Want to give him a shout out to their city, but against the T-Wolves, Bullock is a guy that with the activity of the bigs from Detroit, he gets a lot of open looks. He's able to be a marksman from outside. So he's a way to look at it if you're looking at a salary saver in your lineup build. And then obviously Reggie Jackson at point guard, still relatively underpriced when you look at the production he provides. He's a very streaky player, but he's one you could definitely look at in your builds. There's on a 10-game slate, you don't necessarily have to go Reggie Jackson's way, but he's only 5,400 on DraftKings, so he allows you flexibility, which is one of my favorite terms in DFS, is being able to pivot and move off a lot of different things. So Reggie Jackson at 5,400, not too bad. On the Charlotte side of the ball, Kemba Walker is sort of the no-brainer. He's sub 9K, so in a matchup against Reggie Jackson, defensively, having watched a lot of Pistons games this year, still not a fan of their defensive schemes and what they're trying to do. Don't seem to stop anybody, and they seem to play at a little bit higher pace. You know, Vegas likes this at 217 is a pretty good total. So Kemba Walker, not a bad if you're doing a game stack or even solo here. Jeremy Lamb was sort of a thing for part of the season, and his price has sort of caught up with that production. He's 6,200, so You know, he gets a lot of usage, but I'm not necessarily on Jeremy Lamb in this one. Likewise with Cody Zeller, who's been a thing for a while. He's 5K on DK at the center position. You know, Drummond, when motivated and engaged, which is always a big key, is defensively decent. And I don't necessarily know if I want to go Cody Zeller in this. You know, Spartanzilla here, you know, talking about Miles Bridges. He's just not really kind of cracked the full rotation. So I think he's probably a year off. So I don't like the wings, Bridges or MKG or Batum in this one. So probably just Kemba on the Charlotte side of the ball. So it'll be an interesting matchup. Again, the game was just played, so you can kind of look and see, you know, kind of recent game logs as maybe a guidepost in that one. Moving on to a game that Vegas doesn't like a whole lot. That's the Cleveland Cavaliers going up north of the border to the six, as they say, up in Toronto to take on the Raptors. The over-under is 206. Toronto, big favorites, 12.5-point favorites. So Vegas likes this as a blowout. I kind of see Vegas's point on this. Toronto looked really well, really good, even with the injuries to Kyle Lowry and Ibaka in the last one. They played a really good game on Wednesday against the Indiana Pacers. Toronto looked really sharp, really motivated. Kawhi went off, and so I don't like this game to be close. And so for that end, I'm not too much on some of the parts here. If you feel compelled in the 10-game slate to take pieces of this game, it's probably Toronto side of the ball. But for sake of the podcast, I will talk a little bit about some Cleveland people. You know, Alec Burks is a guy at 4,300 you could maybe look to. I think I'm off Colin Sexton for a while. He shoots a high-volume shooter, but he's not making a lot of those. His price has come down to 4,500. He could be a buy-low candidate, but don't necessarily like him in this matchup. Rodney Hood is sort of a thing at 4,600. So Cleveland has a lot of salary savers if you're trying to go with a Stars of Scrubs approach. But I don't like this game to be close, so I'm not necessarily on a lot of the Cleveland parts. The only other part, you know, in looking at it, Larry Nance Jr., pretty secure in minutes and role with Tristan Thompson still on the shelf. So he's the only other Cleveland piece of this game. On the Toronto side of the ball, Kawhi Leonard is a man. He is a grown man. He is, you know, one of those MVP candidates right now in this, you know, probably third of the way through the NBA season. Played a very good game against Indiana on Wednesday, hitting for almost 60 DK points. All-around game. He's going to get you steals, get you points, block. He's just great. He's just a great player. But you have to be mindful of the potential blowout situation here. Also like Pascal Siakam. I've talked about him on the podcast. I've talked about him in our Slack chat. Super talented player. 6,300 is a fair price for him. Super talented guy and only going to grow in the role. And usage with Kyle Lowry out of this game, it's going to, you know, go to those two players and Kawhi and Siakam. I don't really mind Fred VanVleet. I've come around on him. I didn't know, you know, what to think of him as a player. Kind of watched him in college a little bit and thought he was a decent college player, but wouldn't be a whole lot in the NBA. But he's actually performed pretty well in Lowry's absence. I would expect him to get the start. So at 5,500, it looks like DK expects the same thing, and it's probably priced him accordingly. So Fred VanVleet, I say that 10 times fast on a Thursday night here taping, is a guy you could look at, as well as DeLon Wright, who will probably back up VanVleet. And I don't mind him at all at his price point of only 4,100. So if you're looking to fill out your build, DeLon Wright is a way to go, because even in a blowout situation, he's going to get those backup minutes and whatnot. So not a fan of the Cleveland side of the ball in that one. And if you're looking at Toronto, you know, you got to just be mindful that this game could get ugly quick. Let's move it on to Brooklyn. And those Brooklyn Nets are going to host the Indiana Pacers that are coming off the game we just mentioned. 211 is the total. And Indiana's 2-point road favorites. For Indiana, they are a good basketball team, but in the DFS world, it's a little tricky trying to figure out where the plays are. This game, you know, at 211, Vegas may be, you know, not that I'm any smarter than Vegas, but I feel like Indiana can push the pace a little bit. And Brooklyn, you know, not as high pace as they were in years past, but still a pretty good pace team. So this is a game where I don't mind Victor Oladipo on the Indiana side of the ball. Coming, you know, he's seemed to be rounded back into form after coming off injury. So Depot is a way you can look in this one. Domantas Sabonis is also a guy I like to play. But the guy, and then obviously Miles Turner as well for Indiana, going up against kind of a, you know, I'd say an average front line defensively in Brooklyn. But the guy who's really come on of late over the last probably 10 games is Thaddeus Young. Last game was a bit of a dip in production. He was 26 DK points, but over his last 10, he's averaging almost close to 40 DK points. So he's a guy at 5,800 that you can look to put in the lineups and feel okay about it. I might actually prefer Sabonis, even though he's pricier at 66 in this matchup. I think I might like the matchup better. So Indiana, kind of tricky from a DFS standpoint. You know what you get with Depot. He's a really good player, really can get you all the categories you want filled in the stat sheet. So don't mind him. And then it's just a matter of what you do in the front court there. Not really on the Indiana backcourt players. I don't really like playing Corey Joseph or Darren Collison. For Brooklyn, D'Angelo Russell, total GPP play. He can, you know, go out and get you maybe 50 DK points, but he could also get you 20. Just kind of depends. Looking at his last matchup, he was 20 DK points, but over the last 10, he was 34.5 is his average over the last 10. You know, going up in that revenge matchup he had against the Lakers, he hit for 50. Against Atlanta, he hit for, you know, 56.5. But then against Washington, he was at 23 points. So he's kind of all over the map. Definitely a GPP play. He's less than 7K, so it's a price that I don't mind. And if you're looking at this game and you think, you know, could be, you know, shooting on the over, D'Angelo Russell, not a bad way to look. Also from the book inside the ball, Jared Allen. Mr. Allen is 5,100. So at the center position, you can get some productivity. He's a likely 5 or 6X candidate. So don't mind him at all in this matchup, even going up against the kind of resurgent Miles Turner defensively for Indiana. So, you know, I could see at 5,100, Jared Allen, you know, five times that in terms of when you're looking at a point per dollar production. So don't mind Allen. That's probably it. I'm not really on Spencer Dinwiddie in this matchup. You know, you always have the Joe Harris's of the world and then Davis and these kind of guys on Brooklyn, not household names per se. But if you're looking to just, you know, fill out a roster, if you're last man in your lineup, you can maybe look to one of those guys, even Damari Carroll, who's kind of priced down. Let me look at Damari's price. He's 3,600. So if you're really scraping that bottom of the bucket, getting that last little bit of, you know, stuff out of your milk carton, you could go down with some of those Brooklyn players. So moving on to a game that has a very high total and should be back and forth, and that's the Atlanta Hawks going against going to New York to the Garden to take on the New York Knicks. The over-under is 229. The Knicks are 2.5-point favorites, and this is a battle of teams that are not very good but have a lot of fantasy goodness, and that's what we care about when we're talking about DFS here. So starting with Atlanta, John Collins is a thing. He is priced up to – he's under 8K, so I don't mind his price. He is averaging in his last 10 about 40 DK points. So I don't mind John Collins at all in this matchup against New York and their front line, which is young and athletic, but John Collins is also young and athletic, so don't mind John Collins at all. Trae Young, kind of similarly to the D'Angelo Russell, definite boom or bust, definite GPP type play. It's kind of a YOLO play with Trae Young. He's 6,300. So on his last one, he was under 30 DK points. Over his last 10, he's averaging about 30 DK points. So it's a 10-game slate. If you feel like this game is going to be a shootout, which it could be, maybe you stack it, but maybe not on Trae Young as a one-off in this one, even though it's going to be kind of higher paced. Kent Bazemore, you know, the Baze effect. He's the man with his own podcast. Vince Carter, have that. I was thinking about Vince Young because I just saw him on TV not too long ago. But Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore have kind of an interesting podcast, so it's interesting to listen to those guys. But Bazemore at 6,200 is a decent play here, going up against the Knicks as well. So not really on Kevin Huerter or DeAndre Bembry. He kind of burned me on Wednesday when I played Bembry. He didn't produce, but he's only 3,700. So again, if you're looking to do a Stars and Scrubs approach, you could maybe look his way. Minutes are probably secure, you know, with Torian Prince still on the shelf. So that's the Atlanta side of the ball. With the Knicks, the emergence of young Kevin Knox, he was drafted high, and he's starting to show why he was drafted high. He's 6K even, and he's been coming on like a house of fire here the last 10 days or so. It was about 30 DK points. So he's definitely a 5X candidate. You definitely could use him in tournaments. Don't mind him at all. Obviously, Noah Vonleh is a thing in the front court. He's a little cheaper than Knox. Vonleh is 5,600, so I don't mind him at all. At point guard, looks like Trey Burke is back. So it kind of eats into Moutier's minutes. Moutier seems to have rested the starting point guard, at least for now, in the Knicks backcourt. So I kind of like Moutier, even with a little bit reduced minutes in this matchup. Yeah, also going back to Atlanta side of the ball, you do have Jeremy Lin going back to the Garden, to the site of some of his greatest accomplishments there, and Lin's sanity. So he's only 3,800. But you could probably go other ways than Jeremy Lin. Just saw him in the player pool, so he's as a thought there for the Hawks. But back on the New York side of the ball, it's Moutier, it's Knox, it's Vonleh. Tim Hardaway Jr. may be auditioning for other teams. He's 7,400, so in a track meet, do I think he could 5X that? Probably. I mean, because he could be playing to be on that new team by January, February. So Hardaway Jr. also a way to go. And then obviously Enes Kanter, his minutes seem to be a little bit more secure. In the last matchup, he was about 30 minutes. So if you can tell him he's getting 30 minutes going up against John Collins, you could probably do worse than that. So a lot of production in this one, high over-under. It might go over. I mean, these are two bad teams that are, just trying to find themselves. So I don't mind either, a stack of this one or kind of taking a stand and picking a few plays from this one. So Atlanta, New York, kind of one to watch for on Friday night. Let's move on to a game that involves two very good teams in the NBA's Eastern Conference. That is the Milwaukee Bucks traveling to Boston to take on the Boston Celtics. The over-under is 224. Boston is a one-point home favorite. On the Milwaukee side of the ball, it's kind of nice. We, know where the production is concentrated. Obviously, Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of the premier players in the sport. His price is according to his role on the team. He is 11,000. So, in a game against the Celtics, he played really well in their playoff series last year. He's obviously a better player this season than he was, at the end of last season. If he could ever find a jump shot, he would just be pretty much the most lethal weapon in basketball. But don't mind Giannis in this matchup if you're, looking at one of the higher priced studs. As I mentioned, concentration with Giannis, Bledsoe, Middleton, and a little bit of Brogdon. So you know what you're getting on the Milwaukee side of the ball. Lopez is a thing as well, too, and especially with Al Horford out for the Celtics, you could see maybe Brook Lopez, you know, at 4,600, potentially getting some run and being a way to, you know, differentiate lineups. But at the center spot, I don't know if I would want to play Lopez. So for me, maybe the other guys, just Giannis, Bledsoe, Brogdon, and Middleton on the Milwaukee side of the ball. For Boston, obviously Uncle Drew, Kyrie Irving is always in play. He's always great for DFS. He's under 9K on DK, so he is at 8,700 there. Coming off the big performance against Phoenix, 61 DK points. That bumps up his 10-day average to about 52. So he's on fire right now, playing really well. Don't mind him in this matchup. I'm not really scared of Eric Bledsoe's defense. In fact, Bledsoe, it's stuck in my mind in that playoff series last year, I think with Rozier, if I remember the play correctly, maybe in game six, game seven. It was so egregious defensively that just stuck in my head that Bledsoe really is not a willing defender. And so Kyrie should eat well on Friday night in the Garden. Also like Jason Tatum, like the talent of the kid. At 6,100, he's a nice spot to get, 5X there for sure in what should be a little bit of a pace-up matchup. So don't mind him at all. Tatum's super talented kid. He's going to be a multi-time all-star when it's all said and done. And then the other Boston guy I kind of like is Marcus Smart. Now, Marcus Smart is only 4,900. Since they inserted him in the starting lineup, it seems like Boston is gone. He's a total energy guy, so he fills up all areas of the stat sheet. He might get you only like 5 real points, but he's going to get steals, rebounds, some assists, some blocks. He's going to do it all. And so Marcus Smart is a guy I like, and especially if you're stacking the game. You know, his coming off that Phoenix game, 32 DK points over the last 10. He's about 30 DK points. So, since they've inserted him in the starting lineup, he has been a good asset for them. So that makes him a good asset for your fantasy teams. Not really liking a lot in the Boston front court there, so I'll move it along. For me, it's just Kyrie, Tatum, and Smart on the Boston side of the ball. Should be a good game to watch. I think that's the ESPN game tomorrow night. We'll move on to a game, again, with some teams that are not very good. The Orlando Magic going up to the Windy City to take on the Chicago Bulls. The over-under is 205. Orlando is a 2.5-point road favorite. Looks like Nick Vucevic should be back. Looks like he practiced today, so he should be back in the fray. So no more Mo Bamba. Bamba's a talented guy, but he's going to have to wait his turn till they figure out what they do with Vooch, if they trade him or what they end up doing. If they get further out of contention and maybe decide to go with the youth movement, you might see more Mo Bamba. So Bamba's on the shelf until Vooch goes on the shelf. Aaron Gordon coming off of somewhat disappointing performance in his last matchup. I thought he was primed for a good game and just disappointed there. So he's a very streaky player, all the talent in the world, but and he's 6,700. So actually, I don't really like Gordon in this matchup. In the front court, though, at the forward position, I don't mind Jonathan Isaac, talented kid. He's getting about 25 minutes per game or so. He's probably about a little less than a point a minute. In this matchup against Chicago, who is really bad right now, I don't mind Jonathan Isaac as a play at 4,100. You could probably do worse in that price point. So, Vooch, Isaac, maybe Aaron Gordon, but again, a little price conscientious, so I don't know if I necessarily want to play Gordon. Not really on Evan Fournier in this matchup or Terrence Ross. I think the Terrence Ross experiment is a little bit over, but as soon as I say that, this might be the night Terrence Ross goes off for you know, one of his traditional, you know, 35 DK point things, and it just blows up the slate. So be mindful of that. On the Chicago side of the ball, they are an absolute hot mess. Zach LaVine, I believe, is out in this one. He's out for a while. Bobby Portis is out in this one. So your front court is kind of thin. You know, Lauri Markkanen is a name. He's a player. He's, you know, started the season, you know, on the shelf with the injury. He's come back and played decently over his last 10. His last outing wasn't the greatest. He was under 20 DK points, but he's a way you could go in this matchup. I also don't mind Justin Holiday. You know, it's 5,300. He's gonna get production. LaVine is out. You know, he's a way you can look at the position. I don't love it, but you know, he's a viable play. Chris Dunn is probably the most viable play, but he's 7,300, and on 10-game slate, you don't have to force him into your lineup. So if you want to play Bulls, maybe you're a fan, maybe you're hearkening back to the days of MJ and Pippen, feel free. But, you know, Chris Dunn, the only other real player of note. And I guess I should actually take that back. There's one other player of note with the Portis injury and with the way their front court is kind of rolling. You know, Robin Lopez is not even half crazy. I think he's all the way crazy, and you can't really count on him. But I think Wendell Carter Jr., he was a thing early in the season, then he kind of trailed off. I mean, he is a rookie, but he's a guy at 4,900 that you could put in your lineups. And I think in this Orlando matchup, he could probably – I think he's a 5X candidate. So probably of all of the Bulls plays, I'm probably on Wendell Carter or Chris Dunn. And the other guys are just, you know, kind of fillers. I think maybe I'm recanting my Holiday take a little bit. So I'm really just on Wendell Carter Jr. and on Chris Dunn in this matchup. All right, let's move along. Going on the game by game, Minnesota, the T-Wolves coming off that loss to my Pistons, are going to the Riverwalk City to take on the San Antonio Spurs. The over-under is 221. The Spurs are 4-point home favorites. Jeff Teague is out of this one. So for me, it's lock button on Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose has had a resurgence up in the north there, playing for Tibbs. He is doing it all. Looked real explosive. I got to watch a good bit of that game against the Pistons. And he's got some of that old explosion back, and he looks really good. So he's lock button with Teague out. He's going to minister to secure. And as they say, I think it's Al Zeinfeld says, you know, minutes equals money in DFS. So especially for the NBA. So go ahead and put in your Derrick Rose activity and feel glad that you did. Karl Anthony Towns, the big cat, as always, in play. You know, he's going up against Aldridge and some of the frontline players in San Antonio. I'm not really scared of that matchup from a defensive standpoint. Andrew Wiggins, I don't love, but he, you know, is a name to think about when considering some of the Minnesota players. Actually, a name I think I like more on Minnesota is Robert Covington. Since coming over from Philadelphia, he's getting all the minutes he can see, you know, and he's a guy that fills up a lot of different stats in the stat sheet. And so at 5,700, don't mind Rocco in this matchup against the Spurs. Moving to the San Antonio side of the ball, really production for me is really with DeMar DeRozan and with LaMarcus Aldridge and with Rudy Gay. So those are the three San Antonio Spurs players that I would consider in this matchup. Vegas likes the, you know, it's got a nice total at 221. If I was a betting man, I might bet the under on this one, just given the parties involved. I know San Antonio put a big number up against Orlando on Wednesday, but you know, I think I like this game to maybe go under. So not really looking to stack it, looking maybe for the one-offs in Rose and maybe Cat. And don't necessarily like DDR. as a one-off. If I think if you're going to play Spurs, it's just a part of a stack. If you're going to do one-offs, so you take some of the Minnesota side of the ball, even on the road. So that's kind of my stand I'm taking in this one. And yeah, it's a decent game. If you got League Pass, you might land on that for a couple minutes. So there you go. Let's move on to another game. This is in the capital of the state of California. Sacramento Kings are hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. The over-under is 212. Sacramento is, my last check, is a 1.5-point favorite. The Kings here, let's go to the home team first. So we'll start with the Kings. De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein, my three preferred plays from the Kings. Kings are playing at such an up-tempo pace. I watched that game against OKC, and man, it was breakneck speed, back and forth. De'Aaron Fox is going to be a superstar in the NBA. He's 7,500. Do not mind that price at all. Even in a little bit of a pace-down matchup with the Grizz here, I like De'Aaron Fox. You're never going to get me to probably not roster Fox when I have an opportunity because I like what he can do. And then we talked about Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein in this one. On the Memphis side of the ball, Mike Conley, they've got him as questionable, but it looks like he's probably put it more in a probable. Again, you'll need to check. You'll need to check because it's almost 24 hours from now. But you definitely want to check NBA Twitter. You want to check the beat writers for the Grizz. NBA notifications are a thing that are available to you through Lineup Logic and other means as well. So check for Conley's health, but I like him in this matchup if he can go, a little back and forth with De'Aaron Fox. Don't mind Marc Gasol, but, and I think Noah's actually questionable, maybe leaning towards not playing, so Gasol might get some of his minutes back. He's 7,700, so don't love the play, but I don't mind it either. So he's kind of a middle of the row play for me. Looks like Jermichael Green is kind of banged up, and he might not go. He's always a guy I look to kind of, if I'm looking at stars and scrubs, I like putting him in because you kind of know what you're getting minutes wise with him and production wise. And then because I am a big fan of this guy, you guys know if you listen to the podcast, Jaren Jackson Jr. Now he's 5,800 going up against the Kings. A little bit of an up-tempo matchup for Memphis. I called it last night in the Slack that he was going to be 5X, and he didn't let me down, showed that Spartan love. In the Sacramento matchup, I don't know if I can have the same level of confidence, though. So I'm going against my brand and not recommending Jaren Jackson Jr., unfortunately, against the Kings. He is a talented player. He's fast becoming one of my favorites, but I like him in a little bit. I mean, it is going to be a pace up game for them a little bit, and he is athletic, but worry about the fouls, worry about his, he's a heady player, but he's still learning how to play the NBA game. And so, I don't know. He's a YOLO play for me. He's not my usual. I have my conviction with Jaren Jackson. He's definitely, if you're playing a late slate, put him in. But on a full slate, you can get better options than Jaren Jackson Jr. I know I've let some people down that expect that, and I'm sorry. We'll do better for the next podcast on Jaren Jackson. Maybe he's performing, and we can go there. So definitely Sacramento is the preferred side of the ball in that matchup. Let's move out to the Rose City. We got the Portland Trail Blazers taking on the Utah Jazz. The over-under is 212. Portland is 2-point favorites. From the Utah side of the ball, Donovan Mitchell has been in a bit of a slump here. I know Utah played well. I think they beat Golden State last night, if I'm not mistaken. And Mitchell's price is 7,100. So I don't mind it. But again, we've got 10 games to work with, so he's just shooting so poorly this year. Like, he just takes a lot of shots. He's not really an efficient player. So, on second thought, let's stay away from Donovan Mitchell in this one against Portland. You got Gobert on the Utah side of the ball as well. And think about Derek Favors. You have him. He's potentially in play. Any other Utah guys I like? Yeah, not really a Joe Ingles fan. I don't like playing him. You know, Jay Crowder's a guy at 5K. Looking to kind of with an even balance build. Jay Crowder, you know, gets it done in a lot of different ways. Played well against Golden State last night. Don't mind Jay Crowder. He's not going to excite your lineup. Definitely probably more of a cash game than because you know the floor you're going to get with him than a GPP play. But Jay Crowder, you know, not the world's worst play from Utah. Let's move to Portland side of the ball, though, because, Dame Lillard always in play when he's on a slate. He's 8,500 going against the rookie Rubio defense or lack thereof. Utah defensively not the same that it's been in past, so I like Dame, in that late state. Get that late hammer, 10 o'clock Eastern game. So, like Dame Lillard a lot in this one. Nurkic against Gobert will be a fun matchup. And Nurkic's price has come down. It's probably in conjunction with his minutes coming down, and that is correct. His last outing, he only played 21 minutes. So, if you can predict Nurkic's minutes, if he's going to get 30 minutes, I like him. If he's going to be in his 20 to 22 minute range, don't necessarily know if I like him as much. So, and I'm not really on Evan Turner, not on Chief Aminu at all. Zach Collins is a guy I've played in the past. He's really bargain basement cheap, and he's getting more run. So you could maybe look his way. He came off a 22-point DK outing. And he's averaging about 16. So, again, in the Stars and Scrubs approach, Zach Collins not the world's worst play. And then C.J. McCollum, I just can't get right, so I'm just not going to play him. He's boom or bust. He's definitely GPP. I just can't figure him out. I was much better with him last season than I am this season. So, McCollum, I'm off of. So, I'm really just with Dame. And if you want to take a gamble on Nurkic actually playing some minutes, maybe him, that's probably where it is with the Utah-Portland matchup. And then we round out the Friday night in the association with the game with the highest over-under, and that is the New Orleans Pelicans going to La La Land, to the City of Stars, the City of Angels, to take on the Lakers. The Lakers are 5-point favorites. The over-under is a whopping 234. This could be the if you've been following NBA Twitter or some of the discussion that's been happening around the league, this could be the LeBron telling AD, hey man, we'll try to do everything we can to get you this offseason. So this could be maybe AD's potential home come the 2019-2020 season. So be interesting to see some of the dynamics there. AD's battling an illness. I know he went in the locker room in the last game against the Bucks, I believe. He's priced accordingly, at 11-7. It's a pace-up game. If you get word, you should get word pretty early in the day, whether or not he's going to play. If he plays, of course I like him. And this high over-under, pace up spot again. It's another high pace team. Of course, I like AD. He's one of the best players in all of basketball, so I like him. I like Drew Holiday actually a whole lot, especially in the event that for whatever reason Davis doesn't go. Even if Davis does go, I mean, Drew Holiday is really coming into his own. At that off guard spot, he's 9K. But I think he can 5X that price in this matchup. Like, there's no resistance from the Lakers defense in this one. So, like Drew, like AD, and I really like, if he can somehow get that ankle right, boy, oh boy, do I like Julius Randle. You got to watch for the news on this one. He's 7,500, but, like, the dude is super productive. Like him a lot. If he can heal up and get the ankle right, give me Julius Randle in a revenge matchup against the Lakers in L.A. So, like Randle, like Drew, like AD on the New Orleans side of the ball. With the Lakers, obviously, it's the king, the mogul, Mr. LeBron James. You know, you can never go wrong with rostering him, although he did kind of let us down a few games ago on their road trip. So you know, you got to be careful. But at home, he's going to try to show off to AD, say, hey, baby, come on, come play with the king in my my last couple years here. So, and he's under 11K. Yeah, King James, definite play in this one. Kyle Kuzma also in the up-tempo game, like him as well. Sounds like Rajon Rondo could be a game time, kind of leaning on the more, I thought, doubtful. It says questionable, but I think he's more doubtful. But he did practice today, so I don't know. You're going to want to watch that. If he doesn't go, I like Lonzo Ball a lot in a pace-up game. If Rondo does go, obviously it's going to eat into the Ball's minutes, and so you got to be mindful of that. Also, Brandon Ingram was getting close to coming back as well, so they've got a lot of things in Lakerland. But right now, taping this, you know, on a Thursday night, now we moved into Friday morning on the taping, you know, I like Kuz, Lonzo, LeBron James. Looks like McGee might be out too, JaVale McGee. So give me some Tyson Chandler. Go ahead and stack this one up. Man, it's a late hammer. Have fun with it. I think this one's on ESPN as well. So I'm hoping AD plays, and so you can get a good matchup with two up-tempo, fast-paced teams. So that is it for the game-by-game breakdown. 10 games, some dog games, but some fun ones as well with New Orleans and L.A. and with Milwaukee and Boston. So some fun matchups there, but some not-so-fun matchups either. But that being said, there's definitely ways for people to be profitable in DFS if you kind of find those right matchups. So hopefully I was able to walk you through some of that. Let's do what we like to do at the end of the pod and build a lineup. Okay, so I've talked about a lot of these players throughout the pendency of the show. So let me start with a guy I talked about. I'm going to be a little bit of a homer here, and I'm going to put him in at center. Where are you? Okay, here we go. We're going to put in Blake Griffin, 9,400, going up against Charlotte. Like the matchup, like the price, like his recent production and form. Putting Blake Griffin in, all right? I mentioned this guy is a lock button because of the Teague injury, even going up against San Antonio in, you know, in that matchup. Let's go with Derrick Rose. Come on, join the squad. Derrick Rose, you are on the team. Then I got to get a shooting guard. Oh, hey, I want to watch. I want to stay up for these late games. New Orleans, L.A., I talked about this guy coming into his own. Come on, Drew Holiday, join the squad. So Drew Holiday at shooting guard. All right. And then power forward. Going a lot of different directions. Oh, let's get this kid in. I talked about him a little bit in another pace-up matchup in that Atlanta-New York spot. Kevin Knox, you join the squad. We're going to put Kevin Knox on the team there. So got some money left over. Small forward. I'm going to put this guy. I'm gonna you know, kind of sort of punt a little bit on small forward. I know it's a little bit contrarian, but I'm going to throw Jonathan Isaac in there. Whatever reason, don't like Chicago's defense. I don't like Chicago, period, in terms of how they're playing. So I think Isaac could be due. It's definitely GPP play. Let's put him in a small forward. Guard. Let's see. Oh, talked about this guy. Let's go find him. There he is. Found him. Marcus Smart. I want to put Marcus Smart there at guard. My guard spot there. 4,900. Nice price point. Got some money to play with here at forward. Yeah, I'm going to go back to Orlando-Chicago game. I know it's kind of a blah game, but I talked about this kid as well. Young kid out of Duke. Wendell Carter Jr., come and join the squad. Boom. Put you in there as well. So leaves me 4,100. And, oh, I want to go to Toronto. Even though it's a blowout potential, let's see if I can find him. Yeah, I see him there. 4,100. DeLon Wright, let's go ahead. You join the squad too. So I got the full roster. Got $400 left. So not bad. Definitely a GPP lineup. And that is Derrick Rose, Drew Holiday, Jonathan Isaac, Kevin Knox, Blake Griffin, Marcus Smart, Wendell Carter Jr., and DeLon Wright. So definitely a GPP play. Expecting a lot of production out of Griffin and out of Knox and Rose in this one, and Drew. So I expect a lot of production out of the whole lineup. I just made it, right? I expect the production out of it. So it's a way to think about it. It's a way to look at the slate and a potential way you can construct your lineup. So hope you all are profitable on Friday. Really enjoy the feedback I'm getting from the variety of things. If you want to at me, you can at me. I'm at Spartanzilla on Twitter and in the Lineup Logic Slack chat. Willing to answer any questions you have pretty much up until lock. I'm not afraid to share an opinion and have fun with it. Enjoy the holidays. I know we're getting close to Christmas, so enjoy that time with your family. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the DFS action. And we will talk to you soon. Take it easy, y'all. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth.